Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. A lot of people at this point know that Webster Hall is back in business.
Woo!
It is reopened.
Mm-hmm.
And the first guest that they got to grace their stage in the new Webster Hall...
Daniel Webster.
...was Jay-Z. And he brought out a bunch of special guests.
Yep, not us.
Not us. We were not in the building. And we got a lot of people hitting us up like, oh my God, I can't believe It's the Real's not there, or is It's the Real there, or It's the Real's got to be there. And we were not.
No, but I think it's very big of us to admit that we were not there. It wasn't like, you know, like, oh, I didn't want to go.
Right.
Or like.
No, we were not in the building. We were actually sitting here.
Could have been there, but had better things to do.
No, the truth is that we were not. And it's okay that we were not.
Yes.
Right? This was.
That's so brave.
There's so many reasons why, right? Like.
Well, I can think of one.
We didn't have tuxedos?
Or tickets. Wait, you had to have tuxedos.
You had to have tuxedos. I ran into Maul from the Joe Budden podcast, and he said that he was invited,
mm-hmm.
you know, to go along with his brother and his friends and everything.
Yeah.
But he had to wear a tuxedo if he wanted to go, and he took that.
As like a diss?
No. Like they were playing a practical joke on him.
He was like, the only people I saw that had to wear tuxes were on stage.
No. Law was wearing it, and Lenny was wearing it, and a lot of people upstairs were wearing.
Fab wasn't wearing tuxedos. A tux.
Fab was not, right? Fab is one of us. Like, he could or could not have been there, and he, you know.
Yeah, but he was there.
I know, he was.
Not a tux.
No, don't complain. Remember, Jeff.
No, I
when
I
they
was
go low,
at home. Yeah.
When we stay home.
Yeah.
No, we were not in the building, and that's quite all right.
Mm-hmm.
Again, no, Jeff, it was fine.
It's
remember.
Fine. It's fine. I'm okay not being
it's,
there.
It's totally fine. We were
Whenever
not in the
Rock
building.
Whenever Rock Nation wants to update their mailing list, I'll happily take that offer. But, you know, it's okay. Like, I was happy to be at home searching for people on Instagram Live.
So that's the truth.
I'm being completely serious. I was fine.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's... All these times when it's like, it's really nice that there's two of us
mm-hmm.
because one of us can, you know, send the image airplay onto our TV.
Right.
While the other one searches to find out who has the better angle to watch this feed from.
Yeah.
But really, a lot of our friends were there. Koza, Niles G, Della, Jazz Poe, Fab, whoever was there.
Yeah.
Broadcasting from their phones.
I like that you snuck Fab in there.
You know. He was there. He was there.
He's verified.
Friend of the room.
A verified friend.
And we were watching. Well, listen, shout out to Fab to begin with, but
he had the worst angle.
Update your phone, my guy.
Yeah,
you know.
It was like a 1987 like Tetris.
Not great. We were like begging our friends who were there, like, go live from your like modern phone.
It's not begging. If you send a text and you say, hey, can you go on live?
We hit our
Fab
friend.
I would have told to get off of live.
We hit Koza
mm-hmm.
and because we knew we had a great angle from where he was standing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we switched the feed and put it up on the big TV. We're watching it. And all of a sudden it just like stopped. And we were like, no.
like because Koza stops after 2 minutes.
We had to find another friend and then another friend who had good angles, had modern phones.
Yeah. And we were telling everybody on Twitter, go find these people. Whatever.
It was our pleasure.
Our
to help
service.
Out.
We were the heroes.
That's right. Because Tidal wasn't live streaming it. So
we had to do Tidal's job.
We gave directions as to we were like directors,
mm-hmm.
like camera two.
We were like traffic cops.
Camera three.
Yeah.
So
you're making it seem like we were producers. We were not.
No. Whatever. We were here. We were happy to enjoy it. And I think one of the best parts of the evening was seeing Cam and Jim on the same stage as Jay and everyone getting along and hugging and rapping each other's lyrics. And it was just honestly filled my heart.
Yeah.
These are a bunch of guys who, as everyone knows, has a long history for whatever back in their 20s. And this was just... Some grown men, positive, legendary shit. And
In tuxedos,
that's right. And it was really cool. We got a heads up from a friend who we will not name who came over here on Friday.
Yep.
So the day before. Is that right?
No.
He came over on a day
and he told us that
yeah.
Cam and Jim were allegedly going to be coming out. And we were like, well, now we have to go. And so we sent a text to somebody at Rock Nation. We were like, hey, just throwing this out there. If you have any extra tickets, and we got like a form email back saying, yeah. well, good luck next
a
time.
A form email on text.
I mean, basically, yeah. right? And, like, it was just
and,
like,
and
yeah,
we were like,
no.
And we were like, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
And it really is.
No, it is. It is. And actually, I ran into Elliot at that same HBO event the other day that I ran into Maul at. This was not a podcaster's convention or anything. This
yeah,
because
I wasn't there. So what are you trying to say?
I'm saying, Jeff, that, you know, the bosses linked up.
Uh-huh. yeah, me and Rory stood outside trying to bum our way in.
You didn't
in.
Have your tuxedo, you know?
Yeah.
And I was talking to Elliot, as bosses do. Real boss talk.
Wow.
And Elliot was like, hey man, I really Elliot and his friend.
Oh,
you know.
So any who was Elliot's friend?
Jeff, I can't say. But we were all
was
there.
Was it Joe Budden?
I can't. We were all there.
Was
just,
it Andrew Schultz?
Just, you know, politicking uh-huh. and
Charlemagne
and
the God.
We were just
Rosenberg
working out details. Seif? You know, it's there's levels. Mm-hmm. You know,
and I'm on level the help.
Yeah. I was in there, I was talking to Elliot, and he said that what we are great at is just being in rooms, right? We don't have to stand out or make a scene or put a lot of effort in to be something we're not. Mm-hmm. And the fact that, just like when I was at the Bun and Static recording, and I just sort of stood in the corner and stayed there and didn't, you know, try to sort of overexert myself or put myself into situations where I didn't need to be. Honestly, I think I can speak for you too. It's a pleasure to take all of this in, right?
Yeah.
So if you're in the building, wonderful. If you're at home on the couch watching, wonderful too. It meant more to us to see Cam and Jim and Jay on that stage together than it would have been if we were standing on the stage with them. That's not true.
No.
I'm severely
that is
mad that,
that
we were
is,
not there.
That is some cap.
And goddamn. Jeff, today on the podcast.
Today on the podcast, we have Toby.
Toby from Toronto.
Toronto, not Toronto, and definitely not New Hampshire.
No. Toby is a singer. Actually, before he was a singer, he was a battle rapper. And
which is nuts. Not that anybody can't go from being a battle rapper to a singer, but...
Well, I think that's nuts, by the way. Because name the other ones who have done that. That's right. So Toby is
hold on
very singular in
Joe
that.
Budden?
He has well, he could do that.
Yeah.
Joe could do that. And also he
Cassidy?
Did
Cassidy
has not sung. But you should
girl,
stop.
Girl, you wanna come to my hotel?
Not him.
You wanna canceled. Bring me back.
Jeff, you should have stopped at Joe Budden. You should have stopped at Joe Budden.
Carry yourself, girl.
So
and I won't get with you because you're Toby. There you go.
Toby is a very talented dude who's been co-signed by everybody from The Game to Jamie Foxx.
Jaime Foxx.
To
Tiffany Haddish.
Yeah, yeah. Taylor Rooks. A whole bunch of other people.
And us. We deserve credit for that.
He is dropping a new album coming up later this week,
mm-hmm.
which I should probably know the name of. Right?
It's called Toby Lou and the Groovy Two.
That is not what it's called.
It's called... Sincerely, Toby.
That's not what it's called.
Toby Writes Letters from the War.
That's not the one.
It's called Toby Bryant and the Los Angeles Lakers.
Almost. It's called Still.
Well, you want to know what?
Toby, his new album, Still, which drops on Friday, I believe, through our friends over at Same Plate.
Woo!
Shout out to everybody over there, John and Alex and on down the line, and Toby.
Toby.
Shout out to Toby.
From Toronto.
From Toronto.
So, not Toronto.
not New Hampshire. Really talented dude. Really genuine dude. You get a lot about his music. You get a lot about his journey. You get a lot about his athletics and his education and who he is as a person, as we do on this podcast. Very excited for this episode. I know you guys will be as well. You've heard all of these people who we put on, like Cardi and Lil Uzi Vert and Tierra Whack.
And our mom.
Our mom. And
nobody had heard about our mom before us.
That is true. But today you're going to hear from Toby. And shout out to all you guys for listening.
Also, we just hit 500 ratings on iTunes.
Hey, big day.
Big day.
So make sure you guys add to that so we can celebrate this once more. Jeff, when do you want to get into this episode?
Right after people do the thing on iTunes.
So
did
when?
Did you do it?
Oh.
Did you do it?
I believe I did do it.
Well, no, I'm sort of doing like that Scott Rogowski thing where it's like, hey, you out there.
You're talking to the crowd.
Listening to the podcast.
Jeff, when do you want to get into
this? You listen to the pod.
Jeff.
Go on iTunes and review so I can save my job.
Right now.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Flat Soda, a.k.a. No Cap. Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. All I Need Is One Mic, a.k.a. Toon Squad.
Yo, what up? It's Toby, a.k.a. Young Leo, not DiCaprio, but Tolstoy and Da Vinci. Let's get it.
Yeah, it's your third favorite podcast to waste time when it's the real. Toby, what's happening?
I'm blessed, man. That was great.
Yo, nice to meet you. Thanks for coming down. You are just mere hours into your visit here in New York. How's it going so far?
Yeah, it's been going well so far. My lift took 15 minutes longer than they were supposed to from the airport.
To show up or to actually transport you?
No, to show up because they had to make two laps around.
That's always crazy to me, by the way. It's like you're watching them just like diss you, you know? It's just really unfortunate.
One star.
Yeah, one. Yeah,
I forgot to start.
Oh. Well, by the way, are you afraid to rate them? I am, because they rate you back.
Yeah, but they don't see the rating before they rate you, though.
Is that right?
No.
I'm always concerned. We were in Los Angeles a couple weeks ago, and we took an Uber to meet our friend downtown.
Abigail.
And on our way there, the Uber driver almost got into an accident twice, I think.
Yep.
Flipped somebody off.
Yep.
Stopped the car and yelled at the other people.
Yep. They threw a cabbage back.
Yeah.
Hit the window.
Yeah.
And then the guy stopped his car, came out, and started yelling at our driver. And our driver was sort of racist.
Yeah, so it was all weird. But yeah, he was like, he looked back to us for support, and we were just like silent. We were just like looking back, like, what?
And then he goes, all right.
we heard his feelings.
Yeah, and then almost got into another accident and then said, everybody's crazy tonight, and then dropped us off.
So in that scenario, I was like, I don't even know what to do. And our friend Abigail was just like, don't rate him at all. Just move on with your life. And so that is what I've done. Hopefully I'm not like at a 2.8 or something like that.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I'd go with Abigail's
advice.
Facts. I would go with her advice.
You are signed to Same Plate Entertainment. Our friends over there were good enough to send your music on to us maybe 2 months ago.
Okay.
Maybe 3 months ago. And let me tell you that as far as like young people in this game, your music, from what I heard, was significantly above and beyond anything that we've heard lately. So
wow,
congratulations to you on making the music. And how do you feel being signed to a major record label ready to sort of blow? And this is, by the way, before Jamie Foxx said things, before other people of
Tiffany
note.
Haddish, yeah.
You know, it's the real, whatever. Yeah. Before people of note said things, you're just putting out music that you feel good about and it just gets to the right places. How do you feel?
I feel grateful. For one, I got to be grateful for everything. Take it all in stride. But also, this is something I've been preparing for a long time. I've been making music for so long. So to finally have something out into the world and have a great team to push it for me, it means everything. And I'm extremely, extremely motivated and excited for what's to come. And I just hope people are ready. I hope y'all are ready when I come in this. That's all I'm going to say.
So let's go back to the very beginning. Where are you originally from?
I'm from Lagos, Nigeria.
All right. And how long did you spend down there?
I was born in Lagos, Nigeria. I lived there for 8 years.
All right. So long enough to, like, you know, establish yourself as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like growing up down there?
It was a myriad of things. I can try and explain as best as I can right now.
I mean,
but
that
I do
is the
have,
point of a podcast.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. All right, bet. Okay. I just don't want to get too long-winded, but
let's go. Yeah.
So I do have a lot of memories imprinted in my brain. The language, you know, my second language is Yoruba. That's my cultural language aside from English. I remember, you know, the teaching system in school. You know, I remember like the cultural nuances. I remember the restaurants, like the Western influence on everything. And I think growing up, now I could recontextualize things and understand what it really meant.
Mm-hmm.
Although at the time I was just a participant.
Yeah.
But now I'm an observer and I can look back on it and, you know, have that influence my music right now.
Big family?
No, it's like a decent sized family, five people.
And where do you fall in between your siblings?
I am the oldest.
You're the oldest.
Mm-hmm.
So you have what, a brother, a sister, two sisters?
I have two younger sisters.
Okay.
And I have I also have an older brother, okay. A half brother.
Mm-hmm.
But I would consider myself the oldest because I was with them until about 16 years old. And then I met my oldest brother.
Who makes the best Joe off?
Oh, man, none of us. I'll be thorough with you. None of us. When I want jollof rice, I go to the restaurant that's like 20 minutes from my home. But I do want to learn, though.
But growing up down there, are you playing sports? Are you doing any extracurricular activities? Like, who are you by the time you're, you know, essentially in second grade?
Yeah, playing sports, playing soccer on the streets all day.
Yeah.
You know, it's just
were you nice with it?
Super nice. Super. I'm still kind of nice.
All right.
I'm still kind of nice.
Prove it right now.
Well, listen, if you guys do want to play,
yeah,
just let me know. Just let me know. When my foot is all healed up, we can do it.
Oh, and that sounds like a good excuse.
Yeah,
my
no,
foot
exactly.
is all healed
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I know.
That's like I'm dating a girl. She doesn't go to our school.
Yeah,
yeah exactly.
So when does music enter your life then?
When I was in Nigeria, I was surrounded by music. Not like my family playing or being musicians, but they always listen to music at home. So we listen to like West African music, Afrobeat music, Fela Kuti, Magic System, King Sunny Ade, you know.
David O, Wizkid.
That's right.
Yeah. Wizkid was popping when I was like 6 years old.
What?
That was the first, no, I'm just joking. Yeah.
I was like, oh, maybe like this actually, maybe he's much older. Maybe, you know, Black Don't Crack, just like an idiot.
Yeah. But did you take any classes for music? Was it part of your schooling at that point?
No.
Okay.
No.
What does it feel like then when your family's like, hey, like you're going to move?
So what happened was when we were told we were going to move, I had like 2 weeks notice and it was just me who moved. Me and my father. Yeah.
What happened?
I don't know the details.
Yeah.
Till this day, I don't know the details of why exactly we moved. I know is I was told, we're moving.
Well, did they say, hey, we're moving to a whole nother continent?
Essentially, yeah.
Okay. So one-way plane ticket.
Yeah.
And pack your bags.
Exactly.
So you take a flight to Toronto?
I took a flight to connecting flight. Went to London and then went to Ottawa.
How prepared were you for cold?
Yeah.
Not prepared at all. My jacket wasn't a real jacket. You know, it was
what
like
was
a,
it?
It was like a
tarp?
Yeah, it was like a windbreaker.
Yeah. Well, so you step off that plane, what do you think? Ottawa.
First of all, we landed on March 1st.
So really nice weather. Yeah.
So I remember that day like it was yesterday. It was freezing cold. It was like, you know, little snowflakes and all that good stuff.
But was that exciting to you?
I didn't have any feelings. I was indifferent,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I also thought maybe this wouldn't be permanent. Like it'd be temporary.
Oh, like it's a vacation.
Yeah.
But it wasn't.
A short stay. No, it wasn't.
Well,
it
was not. Did you put your roots down in Ottawa?
No, that was also a temporary stay.
Okay.
There was a lot of temporary business for the next couple of years.
And so where do you really settle down then?
So after that, I moved to Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in Toronto. Then the rest of my family came. And then we moved to a suburb called Brampton.
Right.
Yes. And Brampton is the root. That's where we, you know, planted
a lot of
our
people
seeds.
From Brampton.
Yep.
Among others.
Well, yeah, I was going to be like, just generally lots of people
from
Brampton.
Yeah, lots of people from there. Yeah.
But yeah, I also like Jesse Reyes,
mm-hmm.
Alessia Cara.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of talented,
Tory Lanez.
A lot of talented people mm-hmm. come from there. Was it an easy transition for you to grow up in Brampton?
It was because Brampton is so multicultural. It's so diverse.
Okay. We knew Toronto was. We didn't know about Brampton. Okay.
When I lived in Toronto, I don't know if it was a government program or something like that, but they made housing affordable for a lot of immigrants, a lot of people who didn't own homes. So a lot of people moved to Brampton around the same time that I did. So it was kind of like, you know, you leaving your home here, but moving with all your friends to this new city. So Brampton was, it was like a haven. It was like a haven for new families, for newcomers, for young families. Like it was... Yeah, it was a very great time.
So what's it like going into the schooling system now in Brampton?
In Nigeria at the time, they were kind of ahead of the Canadian system. As far as like math goes, they were way ahead. English was on par. So when I came in, I was like a year younger than everybody else in my grade.
Age-wise.
Yeah.
But schooling, you're ahead.
Yeah, schooling, I was ahead by like two grades.
Whoa.
For at least for math, which was kind of trippy. But in Nigeria, it's just kind of like, you got to learn this.
Well, so how does that sort of work its way out? Like, do kids like not understand what you're dealing with, and does your teacher not understand what you're dealing with? And for you, you're ahead. How are you like trying to reach for something else, or are you like, you know, going in there every day being like, cool, I'll do this rudimentary stuff?
It was like really easy. The schoolwork was easy, but the other stuff was hard, you know, like recess, you know what I mean?
Social situation.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Understanding like what this means, or, you know, what does this phrase mean, or just little things like that.
Well, like, what phrases?
Oh, like the first time I heard something like, this is cool. I was like, cool. What does that mean? This is cool. But it just means something that's, you know.
Yeah,
cool. That's all right.
Now that I know what cool means, it's like, it is what it is. But to a newcomer, I'm just like, what the hell are you guys talking about, you know?
So how long do you think it took you to sort of really get your feet settled and know that you were amongst friends and, you know, going out to the movies or go to the mall or just be a regular kid?
That took a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it took a really long time. But fortunately enough, when I moved to Brampton, because it was so diverse, then it was easier because there were other people in my shoes as well.
Were there other kids from Nigeria or just other kids who had just like emigrated from other places?
Yeah, just other places. There's a lot of South Asians, Filipinos, Caribbean, Jamaicans. It's a huge melting pot.
What's something you took from somebody else's culture and you brought it home and your parents were just like, I don't know what that is?
So when I was in high school, I used to hang out with everybody, like from all sorts of different cultures, especially the Filipinos. They love me for some reason. I don't know
why.
Shouts
to all of them.
Yeah.
Much love to the Filipinos. And yeah, they just used to put me on like their different foods and things like that, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'd bring that home, like the ube cake. I don't know if you know what that is.
Mm-mm. No, it's I got to get to Brampton.
I know, yeah.
It's fire. The purple yam.
Oh, shit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've seen the emoji.
I'm done.
So when you would hear Drake go into like this sort of patois, like it's sort of just understood that, oh, he grew up with kids who were like talking like that, and that's just a part of his everyday life from being around Toronto.
Absolutely. Also, everybody speaks patois.
Do you have an issue when people like us pronounce it Toronto? It's really minus the second T or something like that. It's like
Toronto.
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 What? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Oh. You're doing it wrong.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Toronto.
Toronto.
There's no the T is silent. The second T is silent.
Is that like saying Arkansas instead of Arkansas? Yeah.
I guess.
Or actually, yeah. There's like Nevada. That is how it's properly pronounced.
Yeah. And I say Nevada.
Yeah.
Opposed to what?
Nevada.
Yeah.
It's Nevada
or Oregon or Oregon.
Right. By the way, we get angry at silly things too when people are just like, they spell our name ITthE SPACE RAL.
Right.
It's just one word, no apostrophe, no spaces, you know?
Okay, cool. Yeah. Cool. I just learned that actually.
Right now?
Well, not right now, like when I was trying to search for it.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, the space, what's going on?
People get us confused, strangely enough, for the women's talk show, The Real.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, that's not us.
No, yeah. But shouts to Adrienne Bailon.
Yep, yeah.
Shouts to, does she have a new name now? Whoa. Yeah, sorry, I have a package, I guess, coming right now.
All right, hold on.
This has, like, never happened before.
Hey.
Oh, really?
Good, how are you? Thanks very much. All right, you too.
Okay, so growing up in Toronto, what kind of music entered your life that was new and inspiring and...
Well, hold on. Don't you hate that even though he knows not to say the second T in Toronto,
yeah,
he just did it?
And you just did it as well.
Well, I am ruthless. I'm savage. I don't give a fuck.
Right. Yeah. Okay, all right, let's get it then.
Yeah.
Toronto.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, I do work on saying like Montreal, not Montreal. You know?
Yeah, but that just sounds like a herb.
What was the difference? I didn't hear the
Montreal and Montreal.
How do you say it?
He doesn't.
Montreal.
Yeah, don't talk about them.
Toronto. Growing up in Toronto.
Yeah.
What was it like in terms of music? Where did you find your inspiration?
In Toronto, it's definitely hip hop primarily. And of course, there's dancehall, you know, soca, music from the Caribbean islands, right? And also music from Africa as well. But also, hip hop was the predominant music that I listened to growing up.
So, like who?
I listened to a lot of 90s East Coast hip hop.
Yep.
LOX.
Yeah.
Jay-Z.
Yep.
Street Family.
Yeah.
You know, the lyrical stuff. But I also listened to Outkast. I also listened to Outkast a lot. Dungeon Family, Goody Mob, Houston.
So how does all this music find its way to you, though? Because is, like, the Lox, RJ, and Outkast, and everything, is that on the radio up there?
In Toronto, we only had one hip-hop station, like, growing up. To this day, I'm pretty sure that major station is the only one that works hip-hop. And we just listened to whatever was on there. But also, you know, the internet, YouTube was, you know, YouTube came out in what, 2006?
Yeah,
somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was when I first got into high school. So, you know, that was big with me and my friends, just like putting each other on new stuff.
You mean old stuff?
Yeah.
Or old stuff. But to us, to me, it was new.
Yeah.
You know, like the Jordan Tower stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, the Philly battles, Philly freestyles, mm-hmm. all that stuff. I used to be deep into that. I used to watch that all day and all night.
Because you were just interested in it or because you wanted to do that?
Because I wanted to be like them.
You wanted to battle rap?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Did you?
I did.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, who?
High school battle raps. Like, in Brampton, like I said, because it was so diverse, we all just, like, we made a culture in Brampton of rappers, right? So we would battle people from other schools, you know, put it on Facebook, put it on YouTube.
Like video it.
Put it on WorldStar.
Like where, but
when it turned left.
How would you organize this? You're not just riding around in a car, like looking for people and being like, stop, like let's go battle them.
Yeah, yeah.
Or
no,
did you?
Did
you?
No.
Okay. Oh.
it's not a good idea. No.
You're very one-sided battle if you pull up on somebody and they don't rap.
You were just exactly. Your shoes are whack. And then just like jump back in the car.
Although it'd be a great video.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. No, but how do you find other people who are willing to battle you? Do you just hear about it and you're like, yo, we'll pull up on your school?
That's it. It's the word of mouth. And we had this group called Put It On The Mic.
It's a long name.
Yeah. Trust me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that was the name of the group. And this was in the early days of Facebook,
yeah.
When MySpace was kind of dying out.
Yep.
So then people would just post videos and be like, yo, like, challenge this school. And we kind of had these rivalries coming up.
What did your parents think, or did they know anything about your battle rap career as a high schooler?
Yeah, they knew it. They hated it.
They knew about it?
Yeah, absolutely.
You would tell them. You would be like, yo, I'm going out tonight and I'm going to go kill people.
Nah, not like that.
Murder them lyrically.
They were like, oh, Toby's got his one sweatshirt on.
Yeah.
That's what he wears when he goes out to go battle people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
True. Nah. It was nothing like that. My parents work in the community.
Mm-hmm.
They worked in social services. So my dad went to work one day and one of the youths that he was counseling was like, hey, do you know your son does this?
And your dad's like, what?
And my dad said, that's not my son.
Of course, no, yeah.
I was pretty severe response, dad.
Just, hey. Yo, if your dad was a battle rapper, that'd be a great diss.
Yeah, I know. But
so, some do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stop.
So wait. So he comes home and he talks to you and says, I just found out that you battle rap. And you're like, yeah?
Yeah.
What happened then?
I mean, it's like, it's an awkward conversation, you know, because, you know, ultra conservative, that's not a thing.
Right.
You know, what are you doing?
Right.
Why are you embarrassing these kids on the internet? Why are you publicly disgracing them with your lyrics?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'm like, come on. Yeah. Like, what else am I going to do?
Right.
Wow. You were a clout chaser.
I'm like, what else? No, I mean, like, what else am I going to do? Like, I'm killing it in school.
Yeah.
Let me have fun.
Yeah.
You were doing it for the likes.
What do you think your parents?
No.
What do you think your parents wanted you to do for a career at that point?
Probably like med school or be a lawyer. Or something.
Yeah, and you were not going to do that.
No, I actually did want to go to med school. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So this really was just for fun at this point.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're a battle rapper. Are you recording like actual songs, like 16s versus like the whole thing?
Yeah, I started that like middle of high school. Yeah, started recording songs.
In groups or just by yourself?
By myself.
And were you Toby?
No.
Who were you?
I don't even know if I can divulge these.
No,
names.
If, first of all, you absolutely yes, can.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. And if J. Cole can, like, you know, be yeah. J. Cole and he started out as
therapist,
or as it was seen on MySpace, the rapist. Yeah. Then you can tell us what your name was.
Yeah.
I mean, therapist is kind of a dope name, though.
First of all, no, it's, no, it's very, really it's not. It's very kind of you, but no.
Like, I don't know if you yeah. saw the NBA All-Star game, but that was not the therapist up there. Like,
no. Oh, no, or, no, or I didn't see
not
it.
Not the therapist. Therapist, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, basically, I just used to name myself after like dangerous things, you know, like Poison Ivy, you know, Lyrical. It's like lyrical, mm-hmm. but it's
yeah, well, yeah, yeah with yeah. the calico. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Just stuff like that, you know. Tech yeah. Rhymes. That was one of them too. There's so many names.
Yeah. Slippery One Wet. It's very dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So
Slippery and Wet. Yeah. That's hard.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a Bon Jovi album.
I know. So at that point in your life, you're just out here and your art is in battle rapping.
Yeah.
When do you sort of take it to a level where you're like, I have a story to tell and it's not necessarily based upon putting someone else down?
Yeah, I think that was like the natural progression from doing battle rap and just, you know, the purpose of it was to annihilate your opponent to mm-hmm. a point where it was like, let me try actually putting bars to a beat and, you know, creating these concepts that I've already done for so long. Because when I moved to Canada at 8, I used to write poetry. Mm. I just used to write poetry, but I never thought about putting it on a song. It was just poetry to me. And then a friend of mine in high school was like, man, why don't you try this out? So we used to record songs on his Sony Ericsson phone.
Whoa.
And then we'd like import it into Audacity and then just make songs for ourselves. Yeah.
When so like obviously people knew that you were writing poetry. So I mean like
how No, many, I know I knew.
But he knew.
He knew. He was my boy, my
yeah.
best
yeah, yeah.
friend.
Yeah. So what did it mean to put music out, even though it was just for yourself?
Right.
You had an intended audience out there. So talk about that switch.
Actually, I wasn't even putting it out. I was just making it to listen to it for
really?
Myself. Yeah.
Well, so how like nerve-wracking was it to like play it for like someone who didn't know then?
Oh, yeah, it was nerve-wracking.
Would you like, you had it like on your iPod or something like that and you played it like for them just
Or
sort
do you
of...
do it like an Uber driver does mm. where it's just like you have it on the background. You're like, oh, who is this?
Yeah.
That's actually funny. Yeah.
One star.
Yeah. Yeah, right. For me, it's always been organic. Like I never force myself onto people. It's just like, if you're here, if you happen to take this in, here it is. This is me right here. Some people heard it and they're like, yo, you actually got something here. Like, do more.
Who was that person who heard it and really felt it?
Just some of my boys in high school.
And you listened?
I did.
You were like, all right.
I took heed. And I just kept working at it.
When was the first time you performed live?
In high school, maybe like 11th grade.
Like a talent show?
No,
or?
It was this. It's this class that we have called Civics and Careers. I don't know if you have it here. Essentially, you learn about the government system in civics, and mm-hmm. then in careers, you learn about occupations and what you might want to do after school. So we had to do one. I had to make a song for victim services, like people who had been like abused. So I just used the poem that I'd written and I performed it over Nas's One Mic. People loved it. And I was like, yo, let's do this.
Did you lyrically take down the abusers?
Good
question. For a couple bars. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 A couple bars. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, actually, wait, what is your best line that you had when you were like, the lyrical assassin critic.
Lyrical.
Yeah, lyrical.
Y'all don't want to hear this. Y'all want to hear this?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Jeez. Let me see. Oh, man. I had this one verse. I still think about it to this day. I'm like, what was I thinking with this one? It was like, I I got the Mac 11 brethren start hitting their face. Break to the head, pieces of brain all over the place. Then I wrap it up like it's the BET program. Knife game, R&B, hit you with a slow jam. Type of dude to snap and start breaking heads off. Pencil 9mm spark and let off. Aim two at the same time. I spray 9 and 9 cats all using the same 9. I'm the type of kid who could tote and tote. Multiply my bread, divide your face, subtract your throat. Add my money to pay for the funeral. Outline the body in chalk covered in chemical. Yeah, it was pretty serious.
Hold on. You're the same person?
I know. Yeah, right. I know, man. I know. That's why it's a growing process. This divide is a growth process. Yeah, divide the throat. And then I did this. So,
yeah.
Divide, yeah.
Today, do you still have those like Styles P feelings?
Nah, man, I just listen to Holiday.
Yeah. So, okay, you perform in 11th grade in this civics class, and how was it received?
It got a standing ovation.
And what'd you think?
I was like, what? I just wrote this last night. Like, this is wild.
In that moment where you're like, maybe this is my path forward, or were you still like, I'll go into medical school, I'll have this, you know, path that like my parents see for
practical
me.
Practical sort of, yeah.
Definitely the latter.
Yeah.
For sure.
So this is just something you have in your back pocket. It's for fun and maybe you'll keep doing it as a hobby.
Yeah. Except it was a very obsessive hobby, but yeah.
Obsessive how?
Like I did it every waking moment of the day.
Writing, recording, performing.
Yeah, the writing. Yeah, wow. Absolutely.
What is the first song that you write that you're like, okay, cool, I'm going to put this out on YouTube, on SoundCloud, somehow get it out and just see what people beyond your social circle think?
So I put out a song when I was in like 12th grade. I got this beat on SoundClick and I just recorded it. I paid maybe like $40 for some studio time and I created the song. I put it out on YouTube. I was like, let's do this.
What was that song called?
It was called All I Know. It was like it sounds like, if you remember Wiz Khalifa, Say Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was in that vein.
Okay.
Yeah. What is it like to be in the studio for the first time?
It wasn't like a difficult thing because I had been doing it at home on the Sony Ericsson. Of course, that's my made-up studio.
And now this is like, you know, on the same level. They've got their own Sony Ericsson.
That's right.
Right.
You just rap into that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like the same thing. Like the equipment is upgraded a little bit, but my technique is the same. So that's what it is.
And
who did you bring with you?
I went solo.
Solo to the studio.
Yeah.
And then did the engineer like say anything to you like, hey, that was good? Or did they say nothing and you were just like, can I get my files? Or like, you know, what was that like?
I know that I fell in love as soon as I stepped in the studio and I was, you know, I was rapping to the mic. You know, it was a Samson CO2. I was like, I got to come back here. So I kept coming back to this guy's crib.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, it was somebody's house?
Yeah, it was his house. It was a home studio.
Gotcha.
And then he just stopped asking me to pay.
Wow.
He's just like, just keep coming.
He just believed in you.
Yeah.
That's dope. Who is this guy?
His name was D Pride. Do you know who that is?
Well, yeah,
I do know D Pride.
For sure. Yeah.
His name was D Pride. Is not D Pride anymore.
Right. He was a rapper.
Yeah.
Totally. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. He was like, he's from Brampton too.
Yeah.
So everybody's from Brampton.
Yeah.
There's so many people from Brampton.
The history is rich, man.
Yeah.
It's rich. It's a rich history.
Wait, what's something about Brampton that nobody knows? Or that, like, you know, people from Brampton know, I guess. I don't want you to be like, you know, there was a chemical spill.
Nah.
It's slippery.
I mean, you know, maybe that's why, you know, there's so many fire artists from there as a mutation.
Yeah.
I don't know. Something about Brampton that no one knows. I don't know. Like, from the outside, it just looks boring, but it's actually popping. It's actually kind of lit.
Well, I mean, like, what's there?
Houses, gas stations. But at the time when I was in high school, it was like, we had like all ages clubs. We had artists from the States coming in there. We had Tyga come in and do some shows there.
Wow.
The New Boys.
Was it Tyga at a high point or at a low point or like at a now point?
Nah, this was Tyga when he was like fresh with Young Money.
Okay. Mm.
I think he just did the Bedrock verse.
Mm.
So this is like,
pre-Rack City.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pre-Rack City.
And you fuck with the New Boys?
Well, at the time, your
the jerk was movement was jerk crazy movement, in Brampton.
Yeah. At the time, they came and they had a show. They like sold it out. Everyone was going nuts.
Who was your favorite of the New Boys?
I don't know. All of them. I really don't know.
Every single one.
Yeah, that's the right answer.
Yeah.
So
I don't know.
So you graduate high school.
I did.
And what's the plan immediately afterwards? You got your summer, and then you're going to go to college?
Yeah, university.
Okay. Did you bring your musical talents to university?
I did.
And how was it received? Where would you play? What would you do?
I brought it to university, but I wasn't trying to be like, hey, I'm the new rapper on campus. You know, I was like, no, I got to get my degree. You know, this is what I came here for. You know, this is what my parents worked so hard to get me here for. So it's like that. But then, you know, I would still be writing music in between lectures, things like that.
Rapping about killing people.
No, I'd thrown that shit away by that point. Like, it was over.
When do you sort of pull that out of your bag? Like, what is the moment where you're like, okay, I'm going to perform and people are going to be like, oh, I didn't realize that you were a musician also.
Yeah, it was an organic process. I started getting involved with different things, like different leadership opportunities. And then one of them was like, the group had to create a chant or a song or something like that. And everybody was having a difficult time. And I was scribbling something while they were brainstorming. And then I showed them and they're like, oh shit. This is dope.
They were like, why didn't you tell us this 3 hours ago?
yeah, exactly. After everyone was like, oh, like pulling hair and shit like that. So then I did it for them, and then they're like, all right, this is it right here. And then someone went to go tell everybody that I did it, and then people kept asking me to like write songs for them and stuff like that. So I was like, let's do it. Let's get it.
You were a ghostwriter.
Well, I guess, yeah. You could look at it that
or
way.
Or a co-writer, whatever, yeah.
Yeah. But for like school spirit anthems, you know what I mean?
Were you the guy who turned every single assignment into like one of a...
Facts.
Like, oh, wow. Like a music project? You're like, hey, like, what if instead of like writing an essay, we just like did a song?
Yes.
And people were on board.
I had a prof who loved that idea so much. Actually, he'd been doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I purposely took his class because one of the final assignments was a music video.
You were a pre-med student?
No.
Oh, okay.
I did a biology.
No, because I was like, you're turning surgery into a music video?
Yeah, I mean.
It is dangerous, so.
Yeah.
That fits in with.
Word.
You know, yeah.
That's the theme. That's the theme of my life, actually.
Yeah. And by the way, yeah, you can safely use scalpels in the emergency room.
Yeah.
You know, to divide someone's throat.
Yeah.
So.
Yo, man. Oh, man, I regret.
Hey gang, it's Jeff and Eric here from the podcast.
Hello.
That's right, it's us, the guys you were just listening to for 40-something minutes.
That's right.
And have we got a special offer for you today. Today, and today only, you can go to our website, itsthereal.com, and sign up for our newsletter for free.
Today and today only?
Yeah, after today, we start charging.
Oh, okay.
So, and not only do we start charging, but we start charging a lot.
It's
arms, legs, but
you're saying
all this.
It's in people's interest to go to itsthereal.com today and sign up for our newsletter where they can find out about all of our new merch, all of our touring, all things that go on in our lives.
That's not all. You can also find out what's happening in our apartment. Hey, what new things did I buy that I am now decorating my room with?
I like that. Yeah. Where can I go to sign up for this, Jeff?
Itsthereal.com. itsthereal.com. C-O-M. Com. As in, come get this newsletter.
And now back to
Toby.com.
You start doing these assignments, but are you still taking time to record original music for yourself?
Absolutely.
Had you changed your name, your style? Like, had you figured out who you were going to be at that point? Or was this all...
It was part of the process.
Yeah.
I didn't figure it out. Still really haven't figured it out.
What, today?
Like, who I'm going to be?
Yeah.
Well, it's a growing process.
Yeah.
For me, that's the way I look at it. Like, I have aspiration of an ideal, which I'm working towards.
Sure.
Yeah.
While you're in school, though, what is the type of music that you're putting together?
It's definitely more melodic by this point, but I'm still coming with songs where it's like 50 bars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's what I really love doing at the time, was just going in on a beat and just going for a wild amount of bars. But there's definitely, now there are more melodic stylings to it, you know, a little more singing, a little more playing around on the beat.
You know? Yeah.
At that time, so you're going to school. This is post Drake. This is, I mean, like, you know, Drake had already like popped off.
Yeah.
And so, what did that mean to see somebody from Toronto, like,
from where?
Toronto.
Yeah.
Toronto. what did it mean for somebody who was like so close to sort of like just blow up, like right before your eyes?
Yeah, it was remarkable. It was unheard of. It hadn't happened before. So he definitely opened the floodgates for other artists from Toronto.
Did you watch Degrassi growing up?
I did.
That's it.
I did, you know, yeah. Spinner, Jimmy, everyone.
Yeah.
So, like, was it weird to watch this kid just become, like, you know, a rapper after that? Or were you just like, I mean, they sort of integrated him into the show or something like that, right?
They did, but they didn't give him, like, bars. You know what I mean? When I heard him rapping, I'm like, yo, this guy actually is sick. Like, mm-hmm. He's holding his own on the track with Malice. He had a song with Malice from the clips.
Yeah.
I'm like, this guy's amazing. Let's get it.
What's your favorite Drake project?
My favorite Drake project. Okay. Nothing was the same.
Mm-hmm.
Take care.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're reading this, it's too late.
Mm.
Yeah.
And what
it's
about?
Probably if you're reading this, it's too late. That's my favorite.
Did you go to any of the OVO shows?
OVO Fest?
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to the one with when Nas came out.
Wow.
I think that was in 2012 or 2011.
Wow.
I didn't even buy a ticket, actually. I worked at the amusement park beside it, and I snuck in.
Whoa.
I'll be thorough with you.
Yeah.
That's dope. Yeah. Wait.
So were people still like, you weren't like managing one of the rides, were you? Like okay, just making sure nobody was like stuck on the Ferris wheel.
You were
going to enjoy Nas right for back. 3 hours. Yeah.
I wouldn't do. Maybe I would. No, I wouldn't.
Also,
do
you're
that.
A taller dude. It's not hard for you to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
And you just like hopped the fence and
dipped.
Yeah, snuck in.
Yeah. No, I didn't even have to hop a fence because I had one of those passes for the grounds.
Oh, you just showed it
I just quick flash,
went right through.
Slide.
Mm-hmm. Smart man. Smart man.
User.
Does the 10th anniversary of So Far Gone mean as much to you as it meant to so many people online?
Absolutely.
Do you know where you were when it dropped?
Yeah, I was in high school. I was in 11th grade. And it was essentially like the soundtrack, you know, every time, you know, all these stories, you could relate to them for one. And it was the first time that you could listen to a hip hop artist, at least for me and my friend group, you could listen to a hip hop artist and be like, wow, he's talking about a location that we actually know. You know, he's describing a scenario that we've been in. And, you know, you could listen to it with your girl, you know. Just
so Cardinal wasn't, like, shouting out places in Toronto?
He was. He definitely was. So he's, you know, he's the progenitor of that.
Yeah.
Drake took it to a next level, though. He took it to a next level because there are the nuances to it. You know, like a street name, you know, or an event.
Mm-hmm. Or he'd be like, oh, like, you know, Sally from Future Shop, or like, you know, like Donna from Tim Hortons, or
yeah. Or a mood.
Yeah.
You know, he'd get the mood and you're like, oh, I feel that.
But did it evoke something when he shot the music video for like Headlines at Rogers Center, whatever it's called, right? Or it used to be Sky Dome, but what is it now?
Rogers Center.
Yeah. Was that meaningful?
Well, for me at the time, I was just kind of like enamored by the fact that there was this massive star coming from my hometown. And seeing these landmarks in the videos, you know, it definitely like brought something within me for sure. But I think for me, I was more so focused on the fact that he could rep our hometown so hard. Like, he could rep it so hard that people in the States, people all over the world were referencing basically our backyard.
Yeah.
That was pretty remarkable for me.
And then, like, this is skipping, like, way further ahead, but, like, when everybody sort of got on Afrobeat and more recently, like, does that ring anything within you, or is that just like, you know, like, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm happy that the world is embracing this music, you know, but this music isn't new, right? Like,
right.
Even before this new wave of artists coming out, we had Two-Face Idibia, we had a P-Square, we had artists doing this before. But it just wasn't as accepted.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't packaged the same way either. Like,
what
you
do
know,
you mean?
In that, like, you could get it from Spotify. You can get it from, you know, like when you have French Montana going over there. Like, it's that everybody sort of was like, oh, there's this thing that everybody says sounds good, but now when you put an American face on it, then yeah. it becomes like it's much accessible. More digestible. And yeah. then now everybody's right. starting to see that they're now the actual African artists that like you can check out after that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, Spotify absolutely. Hired Tunde to sort of
yeah.
be their guy now, and they have dedicated people to a sound that, you know, was literally in your backyard.
Yeah.
Now it's everywhere.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. So while you're in college, is the goal then to graduate in 4 years, get out and get a job, and try to establish yourself as a musical artist, or where's your head at?
Man, college was like the best time and also like the worst time.
Why?
For those reasons right
oh
there.
Oh my God, so Drake.
because of the angst, you know, like the, you know, the existential, you know, questions you're asking yourself, like, here's a fork in the road, which way am I going?
How yeah. do oh
I
know God. Which you were the so right college.
Yeah. Huh? Yo, trust Yo. Me. Trust me, man. Trust me, I learned that word in third year, and I was like, this applies to me right
so,
here.
As far as your parents knew, like, music was not on the radar.
As far as they knew, but I would someone kept telling them at work.
Damn.
Every time they went to work, they'd be like, hey, so I heard you got this new thing out.
Like, you're like, I'm popping.
Yeah. yeah. Listen.
Like, all these, like, mad. Troubled youths coming to your dad?
Yeah.
Facts.
Yeah.
yeah.
You're
yeah,
like, I got
yeah.
an audience.
Yeah.
So what's the first thing that really, like, crosses over and makes a dent and you're like, this is me and I'm happy that it's getting traction?
So after I graduated...
Mm-hmm.
I started working on an EP, like a real EP. Like, I'd put out maybe 9 mixtapes before that.
9?
Yeah. Probably like 500 people max heard all of them. So. Mm-hmm.
And all yeah. of them would talk to your dad.
Yeah, exactly.
yeah.
They all, it was like maybe like a newsletter straight to my dad.
Were you utilizing like the blogs? Were you like trying to get on like Two Dope Boys or Nah Right or any of those things? Or... Were you just like, let me just put it on my channel on YouTube and my channel on SoundCloud?
I didn't really have a strategy okay. at the point. It was just kind of like, just keep shooting your shot wherever you could. So that was blogs, you know, spamming.
You
know,
100%.
No, I'll be honest. So you were like
Facebook groups.
Space.
Yeah. You were adding people on Twitter, being like, listen to my music, not following them. Like that sort of thing?
Not that deep. No, it's not that deep. By the way, just along those lines.
Yeah. Just a message to anybody who spams.
It's a great idea.
No, we're gonna.
And there's no downside to it, and I think everybody's become successful because of it. So.
You just ruined our mentions, by the way. So thank you.
Go for it. Listen,
we can't do anything for you.
I'll sign you all to It's the Real Records.
Oh my God.
Predatory deals only.
Great. Let's so get it. So okay. So the first thing that really crosses over for you?
Yeah, it was an EP that I took my time on in creating like a solid project, you know, getting the sound right, getting the themes within it right, getting the cover art, things like that.
Well, what do you think was right about that project?
I think it was like, what was right about it was the first time that I was truly vulnerable on a record from an artistic standpoint, but then also from... I guess a marketing standpoint, it was well packaged. It was well packaged, well put together. It looked clean. It looks like something that you could proudly show anybody and say, this is my work.
When did you bring in anybody to be part of your team?
Probably when I was about to graduate from university. Me and my boy, my close friend, He's on my team right now. We started a blog together when we were in school, and just, you know, he would like interview up and coming artists. And then there was a point where I just kept sending him the new stuff I was working on, and we were just building together and growing. And then it was just like the logical next step. It's like, yo, why don't you be my manager?
Oh,
you
know? See, I thought at a certain point, like, he had this site, he was interviewing up and coming artists, and then he sort of like snuck you in his own artist.
Yeah, sort of like the ASAP.
Like with Yams. Yeah.
Like that's how ASAP works. True. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Yams, when he started his Tumblr, would, you know, put all these like dope artists that he would find, and then he, you know, would sneak in Rocky
Ferg.
And then it became this thing, and people were like, oh, this trusted source, I'm going to fuck with these guys.
Oh,
and
true.
Look at that.
Right. Like a little Trojan horse.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally. Right. So you guys linked up, and what did that mean to your career?
Well, it was like he knew so much about other artists, right? So I was over here listening to artists who were already established. He listened to everybody. He listened to artists that I had never heard of. So he helped me grow my personal artistry, you know? So I had my vision for who I wanted to be as a person,
yep,
and as an artist, yeah, as far as subject matter goes. But the other stuff, the peripheral stuff, he definitely helped me with that. And yeah, we became a team.
Well, first of all, what's his name?
His name's David.
Shout out to David.
Shout out to David.
And what was the best piece of advice that he gave you on that front?
I don't know if there was one singular piece of advice. It was just always like, I knew if I had a question about something, I knew who I could go to for that. You know, it was, you know, quicker and more efficient than a Google search.
Yeah.
Because he just knows a lot of stuff.
After I subtract the throat, where can I bury the body? And David would know.
I don't know about that one.
No, David would. Shout out to David.
Oh, maybe. No. We're both on our like holistic living lifestyle. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Decompose the body.
Yeah.
Right. So you put out this project, and what was the EP's name?
FYI for your information.
Yeah. And you put it out there.
Yeah.
Is that gutsy for you? Do you feel like you put it out there and who knows what people could say? Or were you so sure of it, you're like, fuck it?
I was very sure of it. And the reason why is because I had done those 9 mixtapes beforehand, mm-hmm, that maybe 500 to 1,000 people had heard.
Right.
And small sample size, but the consensus was, this is fire. So I was like, let's do it.
And when you say you're vulnerable on FYI, what do you mean?
Like I said, part of the growing process, I feel like those years where there was all that, you know, turmoil going on, I learned so much about myself. And I learned that in order to create great art, you need to have a certain amount of self-understanding and self-awareness.
Sure.
For it to translate as clearly as possible to whoever is listening to it and taking it in.
So you're putting your experiences out there, and maybe someone like you could relate to things that Drake would say. Maybe someone could hear something in what you're saying and relate to that. Were you ever afraid that you would say something on there that your parents would hear through one of these kids who stops by, you know, your dad's office and say something where you're like, oh, I didn't even intend for my parents to hear that?
Absolutely. Definitely. And it happened.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And what was their reaction?
Like, it wasn't favorable, but part of the growing process for myself as an individual involved growing my relationship with them and being candid, open, and transparent with them about who I was becoming. And for this to work, you need to respect that. And I respect the humanity in my parents. They respect the humanity in myself. It's a great dynamic.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it. So, like, how long was the sort of uncertain area of, like, you know, because it is a conversation, it's always evolving, but how long was it where it went from, like, one to the other?
I can't really put a timeline on it, but literally from the first moment that they knew that I did this rap thing until like
today.
Yeah, exactly. It's constantly
yeah.
Developing. But we're at a great place.
That's good.
And where is the first performance that you can look back at and be like, yo, I bodied that stage and felt like a true artist performing?
Velvet Underground, Canadian Music Week, 2017. Yeah.
What was it about that performance?
Canadian Music Week, I'd always wanted to perform at it when I was in high school, when I was growing up, and I finally got that chance. I opened up for Xavier Omar, and it was an all-live setup. So it was me, guitarist, drummer, and a bassist, and we played my whole EP live, and it was the most intense, surreal feeling I'd ever experienced.
Was this an audience that knew the words, or was it just a totally new audience, or who were they?
It was like 90% new audience, and then 10% were singing back with me.
So are you the guy who works really hard to win them over, or you just know that whatever you put out there, you're comfortable with them and their experience?
Yeah, I just do what feels right to me. It's, you know, I don't have this conscious effort to try and win people over. It's just if you resonate with it, you resonate with it, and I'm just gonna give you the best thing that I can in this moment.
You know, going back to even before then, and maybe this is just like a universal thing, but like when you're growing as an artist, when you're putting out stuff to a very limited amount of people, and you do say that, you know, a lot of people will write such great things and you feel like you're on the right path, but is there anybody also who will say something that's like really shitty and that'll make you question everything?
Yeah, people definitely. I had a lot of naysayers, just on like YouTube comments. But for me, like I see those comments, but it's just like, it's like water off a duck's back. You know, I don't regard it at all, because I'm focused on the people who are impacted by my music, and I don't have time for the haters. You know,
so you're not like creating fake accounts and being like, fuck you, like, you know, yeah, catch me at, you know,
outside.
Yeah.
No.
I was gonna name some very like Canadian specific shop, yeah, but I wasted my
Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah, I already wasted all my references.
All good. No, that's never the case, because it's, for me, it's never that deep. Like, I don't have time for that. You know, I have time for the people who love what I do.
So what happens after that performance in 2017?
It was a series of cementing what music really meant to me. And that was definitely a highlight for me, because I knew I was made for this on that night. That night cemented it for me.
Did you have a job, a regular 9-to-5?
Yes.
What were you doing?
Child and youth worker.
Wow.
Yeah, and mental health worker.
Did any of your worlds collide or cross over at any point? Did any of your kids like end up seeing you perform? Did anybody hear about the music? Did your coworkers say, like, you know, there was a guy who was spitting something nasty and it sounded like you. Have you heard it yet? And you're just like, oh, yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah. To be honest with you, that's happened a couple of times. It's been kind of difficult to toe that line, you know, with a raising profile in the city, but still people know you as something else, you know? So I've learned to be as transparent as possible with the different spaces that I occupy. But also, like, I don't expect people to be treating me any differently. You know, like, it is what it is. It's a part of my life, right? And when a kid finds out, it actually helps with relationship building. It helps build rapport if they are interested in making music.
So, you know, you start building buzz, and, you know, Toronto's popping at this point. And so are there any execs who are, like, coming into town? Is there anybody... Where do you start seeing the industry side of things start coming into your life?
In Toronto, like, it was definitely popping, but some spaces were still kind of siloed and exclusive a little bit. Like, you know, as an artist who doesn't really have a name, it's hard to get in those rooms. So I kind of took it from a twofold approach. One, working from the ground, on the underground. So open mics, you know, things like that, like battle forums, you know, stuff like that. And then secondly, just reaching out to people who are in the industry, but they're also champions of local music. So it starts with those champions first, at least my foray into the industry.
And so those people were who?
Aaron, this editor for a magazine, Exclaim magazine. Her name's Erin Lowers. She's really been a champion for
Exclaim.ca or whatever, right?
But she also does so many different things, right? She wears many hats. A lot of Toronto professionals in the industry, they wear many hats and they have, you know, different gigs essentially.
And how does your music find its way to Madison Avenue and ultimately to Same Plate?
It was through putting music out and reaching out online to everybody under the sun, you know, like the blog reach outs and things like that. And then growing that organically. Then I met with John Tanners.
The A&R, yep.
Yeah, who then came on to be on my management as well. And then the growth was from there, you know, took it to another level, also artistically. And then my music got in the hands of John at Same Plate, and he loved the music, reached out to me. And yeah, we just kept building from there, and it was just a great fit.
So when, like, all this attention starts coming to you after this, like, label deal starts getting put together, talk about your mind state at that point. Because you're somebody who's been, you put out 9 mixtapes,
right?
500 people listen to them. You put out 1 mixtape that more people listen to. You got some live performances off of that. But, like, now you're getting, like, a whole building. Right. And there's, like, a very different energy that comes with that. So, like, what, you're just, you know, a kid who's living, you know, 500, 600 miles away.
Right.
You know, talk about your mind state at that point.
At that point, I've always just kind of learned to be grateful and appreciative of where you are, no matter where that is, and always have that foresight of where, you know, where things could go, or where you want things to go. So, you know, part of me always kind of acts like it never happened. Do you know what I mean?
Because
I don't want it to deter me from the bigger picture and, you know, be in the clouds, right? So I still feel like I'm that dude on the Sony Ericsson still recording.
Every time I go you're signed studio. To a Sony label.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a Sony Ericsson anymore, but you know, it's like, I can't lose that feeling.
Do you still have things to say that are open and honest and vulnerable and push your own limits?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's part of the growing process for me. Like, this project that I'm working on right now, that I can't wait for the world to hear, marks a period of my life that is very clearly stated for me. Very clearly stated. A lot has happened since then, and a lot is going to keep happening.
Yeah.
As I'm sure of it, right?
Yeah. But okay, so you sign a major label deal, you end up in these rooms with The Game and working with all these different people, right? You're a more known entity. Can you look back at that chapter and go back into your own soul and feel like the man who wrote those songs?
Oh,
God, man. That's a bar.
that's a question, man. Yeah, I definitely have to do self-reflection. You know, it needs to be a daily process. So, you know, I need to be able to reference where I'm at right now versus where I was in the past. And I think that's the beauty of listening to music from an artist and knowing where they were chronologically, is you can say, oh, this is where they were at this time, this is where they were at this time, and then the audience, the listener, can piece these stories together. I got a lot of stories to tell. very interesting stories, very emotionally trying stories. But, you know, I think if I can use myself as a reference point, well, it's going to make for a pretty awesome run.
I also saw that Jesse J follows you on Instagram.
Jesse J, British singer?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
All right.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no way. Okay, dope. Yeah. I did not know that till just
so
now.
So if you want to like DM her, go for it.
Yeah. I'm gonna holler.
Who do you make music for?
Oh, man. Who do I make music for? First and foremost, I make it for me.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that. Yeah. There's so many people who are just like, you know, I make it for Brampton. I make it for, you know, Nigeria. I make it for...
Wait, but were you about to say all those things?
If I was to get an extended answer, it's okay. Like, no, but I make it for me.
No, but that's what it is, first and foremost. You know, like when Snoop was like... getting his star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and he said, I want to thank a lot of people, but really I want to thank me.
Thank yourself.
This is your journey, this is your story. You have written this, you've made it, you've accomplished these things, you are here, it's you.
Right.
So good for you for saying that.
Thank you. Thank
congratulations you. on everything. We're really excited about what's to happen, and for somebody who is, you know, great at dividing people's throats, we're excited about you multiplying your audience. So.
Woo! Look at that.
Thanks so much for stopping by, and we'll hope to see you soon.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure.
Thanks everyone for listening to this new episode of A Waste Time with The Real Jeff. People want to find out more about us. I'm Eric, curly hair, your Jeff, glasses, together. We are It's The Real, no apostrophe, no spaces. This podcast, of course, is called A Waste of Time with It's The Real. At this point, I think you should know that that's the name of the podcast, but whatever. And if you guys want to find out more about what's going on with this movement of ours, Jeff,
where can they go?
You can always go to itsthereal.com. Go sign up for that newsletter.
Yeah.
It's still free today.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, not so free. Today is free.
That's right.
You can also go to itsthereal.com/shop and get all of our mugs, all of our t-shirts, all of those It's The Real supplies that you desperately need. They're there.
They're there right now.
They're there right now. You're here right now. Go get them over there. You can listen to all of our old episodes and our new ones of our podcast, A Waste of Time with It's The Real. That's this podcast.
Yeah.
Go to iTunes, go to Spotify, go to SoundCloud and CastBox.
And Google Play and the rest.
And any place that you want to listen to podcasts and many more, our podcast is there. A Waste of Time with It's The Real. Just search for It's The Real. A Waste of Time with It's The Real. If that's too complicated. You can also find Two Jews and Two Black Dudes. Review the movies, our side podcast with The Locks.
That's everywhere.
She'll be making a return soon.
Right.
You can also find us on social media at It's The Real on Twitter, at It's The Real on Facebook, at It's The Real on Instagram.
Jeff, now is the time when we ask the internet to check in so we can shout you guys out. We appreciate you for listening. We appreciate you for being involved on social media. So here it is, Jeff. Who wants to be shouted out today?
Angry Man from Baltimore. Shouts to him. Prawn Artest. I also want to shout out Shonda Nicole One from Newark. Or Newark. I'm not sure if she's from Delaware.
Ooh.
Shout out to Brooke from Oakland, California. That's the Brooklyn Basquiat. Shout out to Twain Hall the First. Cam from Chicago. BJ from New Orleans. Sam from Brooklyn. That's Fly Young Sam. I want to shout out 3-Piece Set Pod out of Atlanta. I want to shout out Shake Skates from Denver. We're going to actually be out in Denver at the end of the month.
Check us out.
I want to shout out OG245 from Boston. Long time. I want to shout out Emmanuel Fresh. I want to shout out Andy Patel from Austin, Texas. Sound from Providence, Rhode Island. I want to shout out John from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Pike Romero from Tucson, Arizona. So High, the Compton native Charlotte resident. I want to shout out Will from Philly. I want to shout out Jonathan from Boston. I have not been back to Boston since I graduated. I want to shout out Jeff from Los Angeles. I want to shout out Jabari Sampson. The Fat Quagmire from D.C. I want to shout out Renzel Washington from Birmingham. possibly from Alabama, probably from England. I want to shout out Dirty Water Podcast from Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Shout out to them.
I want to shout out Anthony, a.k.a. Continental Breakfast from Norwich, Connecticut. The Rose of New England. I don't know if he's saying that he's the Rose of New England or if North Connecticut is.
You know what?
They both are.
Give them roses while they're around, right?
TJ from Jersey City. And I also want to shout out Josh from Three Rivers, Michigan.
Shout out to all you guys for checking in. Shout out to everybody who's listening. And shout out to everybody who's letting everybody else know that A Waste of Time with The Real is your third favorite podcast. Jeff, as always, not for real, for real.
Sure, sure.
We'll see you guys next week.